We're so thankful to be able to come and have a message that the Lord wants us to upload onto YouTube so that you can attend to it whenever and at the time you want and whenever you want. It is so good of the Lord to do this. We invite you to turn in your Bible to two different passages. One is the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, where we started last week, Matthew 4:23 through chapter 5 and verse 2. Last week we looked at when he was set. This week, Lord willing, we want to look up into a mountain. Up into a mountain. The other passage will be seen in Luke chapter 6. So it'll be Matthew chapter 4:23 and Luke chapter 6 and verse number 17. Up into a mountain. Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Notice it was their synagogues. It was religion. And preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers, that's King James word for various, different diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils. The word demons is not in your Bible, so it says devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. That's our lesson title, Up into a Mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. So it says he was teaching all the people. As you find in verse number 23 of chapter 4, all manner of diseases among the people. But then it changes, and it says in chapter 5 and verse 1, and seeing those multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and blessed. So we go on with that. You know what that is. That's the Beatitudes. Luke chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Luke chapter 6, verse 17. And there came down with them and stood in the plain, P-L-A-I-N. It means a low place between two mountains. Strong says it comes from two words. One, the first word means a spot limited by occupancy. A spot limited by occupancy, a place. The second word means a level ground easy for the feet. So it's a level ground easy for the feet that is to be limited by occupancy. In Luke chapter 6, verse 17, and they came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. So you find the whole multitude, verse 19, sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. So this is the same event in Luke chapter 6 as you have listed in Matthew chapter 4 and 5. But in Matthew chapter 5, it says he went up into a mountain, and that's when his disciples came to him. He was healing all the people, verse 23 of Matthew 4. But when he sees the multitude, he goes up into a mountain, and his disciples come unto him, and then he opens his mouth to them. In Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, the same place talks about all the people being healed, quote, unquote, in the plain. So, dear soul, we find that in the place where it was easy for them to place their feet, a ground as easy for the feet, level, a spot limited by occupancy, so says Mr. Strong. And we find that where it was convenient and where it was a place where they could easily access, then they wanted their physical bodies healed. But there was more that the Lord Jesus had. He wasn't just a healer of the physical body. He was the healer of sinners. He was the healer of those who were transgressors. So he invites those who have a further need. And a lot of people get all they want from the organized religion. They want their children to have activities. So they join that church. And as soon as that child is no longer eligible or starts seeking something else, they're gone. They want somebody to help them with this, that, and the other, marry their daughter and son-in-law together, to bury their granddaddy. There's a lot of people want a lot of things from religion that have no interest at all whatsoever in going up any higher into the spiritual elevations to hear what the Lord God says by his word. And that's what we're seeing. And dear soul, do you remember in Daniel? Let's turn to it. The book of Daniel, chapter 3, and verse number 1. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. If I can find it. Daniel, chapter 3, and verse number 1. Where did the great golden head of Nebuchadnezzar, where was it placed? Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. When the prophet told him, thou art that head, he didn't literally mean, you know, you're that physical head, but that's how Nebuchadnezzar took it. So he made him the physical head of that stature that Daniel had shown unto him, just told him that that's the way the kingdoms were going to be. Gold and silver and brass and so forth, and that image. But Nebuchadnezzar took it literally. And in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and breadth thereof 6 cubits. Now, where did he put it? He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Idolatry always seeks an easy place for people to come to. Don't want them to have to exert any effort. We need them to gather together in the plain of Dura to worship this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And dear soul, that's what religion always does. It tries to make it convenient and tries to make it accessible and with an easy way and so that they can get the people to come in for whatever purpose they have for them. Usually it's to get their money or to build a big edifice and say, look at this great Babylon that I have built. But anyhow, the Lord Jesus is saying to us, come up hither. That's the first command that the Holy Spirit gave to the New Testament church as recorded in the book of the Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. After this, that is, after we saw that which was, that which had been, that which was, now we're going to see that which shall be, beginning with verse 4. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. You're going to have to come on now. We've been looking at the seven churches of Asia. They're on a level. There they are. You can go with this one, get a boat and go over there to that place and get a ride and go over to this place on land, and they're easy accessible. But now we come to that which is spiritual, and you're going to have to go up into a mountain. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard from was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. If when God invites you as an individual to come up hither, it means that you will be put into the spirit to understand the spiritual things, while we look not at the things which are seen. Songbooks, programs, bulletins, programs, traditions, different modes of dress of different people, different kind of furniture. God said, listen, you need to come up hither. I thank the Lord for religion that has been sanctified by the Lord for us to be able to learn through it and learn from it. But dear soul, so many people are stuck right there, or so many people only want that and don't want anything else, never did intend to come on and be with the Lord. But the Lord is inviting his people, come up hither. He left the people in the plain, in the level place where it was easily accessible, in the place where idolaters have their golden images. That's where they put it. And so we see this soul that God is inviting us to involve ourselves in God who is spirit. Therefore, they that worship him must worship him, not in latitude and longitude. Well, we go over there on so-and-so street at such and such a time on such a day, and that's where we worship. Dear friend, if you're not worshiping before you get in that car and leave your driveway, you ain't going to worship when you get there. What is worship? They that worship him must worship him in spirit. Got it? Come up hither. And immediately I was in the spirit. It's talking about you as an individual having a relationship with God who is spirit. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not just wild, crazy spirit jumping around and dancing up and down and all that kind of stuff and blabbing in different languages. It's worshiping God in truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. You can only come to God through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. The Father will only be accessed through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he to whomsoever the Lord Jesus Christ shall reveal him. So we understand and see that these people were being taught in the plain. Luke 6:17. But when God would have his disciples come to him, the people were being healed in the plain. But then when he would have his disciples come to him, he said, come up into this mountain. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set in that mountain, his disciples came unto him. Dear soul, you can be one of the multitudes of religionists and never be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but I've been baptized. A lot of people in hell have been baptized. The baptism not going to save you. What can wash away my sin? Not baptism. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How are you going to have the blood of Jesus applied to you? By the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual matter. How can you stand in front of people and say, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day? How can you stand and say with any confidence, with any boldness, I am a born-again believer? How can you do that? They don't see you looking any different. You're the same height. You're the same shape. Your hair's the same color. Everything's exactly like it was. How can they know? Because you went up into the mountain and now you're in the spirit, and they can understand and discern things about you that is spiritual that they never was able to see before. So we see that we're talking about a whole new realm of worship. In fact, it's the only realm of worship that we have is to worship God in spirit and in truth. How can you do that? For the Father seeketh such to worship him. But look, it's comfortable down here. I didn't have to break into a perspiration. Why? I didn't have to climb over a big rock. I didn't stump my toe. It's very smooth. It's very easy. It's the plains of Dura. Well, yes, There's a lot of benefit there in those plains. You can, Jesus will heal all that are in, have a disease. And if you worship in the plains of Dura, Nebuchadnezzar won't cut your head off or throw you in the fire. But it's all, is that all you're looking for? Acceptance with religion? There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. That's what God said. So we see that there is a higher way. We must needs go home by the way of the cross. Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Wait a minute. Sounds like work. It is. God said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Dear soul, if you want to go to hell, all you got to do is nothing. You'll slide right on down into the pits. But you must believe to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. So we must continue to arise to the things of the Holy Spirit and contemplate those things that God would have for us each stage of our life, each day of our life. So the first commandment of the Spirit was, come up hither, and I will show thee. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. Dear soul, I appreciate Bible studies. I appreciate different things that we have had in the church over the years. Learned a lot of stuff. But I got more bookshelves filled with books that I had to buy to go through those study courses than I have a heart filled with the knowledge of God that came from them. Thank the Lord that my heart is being filled with the knowledge of God, but not just by study courses. It is by the revelation of Jesus Christ unto himself. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. This is one of our, I guess you'd call it our favorite verses that we have read you many times before. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 20. And we know that the Son of God is come. Believe that with all my heart. And hath given us an understanding. I didn't just get a knowledge of the person of Jesus of Nazareth. That's just a fact. Has no glory in it. But I also got an understanding. And it is a glorious thing for God to give me his understanding. We know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God, and this, may I say only, is eternal life. Listen, Christian, it's not how do the bunch, I didn't say Christians, it's not the bunch of you saying, well, we're a church. It's you individually saying, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's my personal Savior. Look back in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. He talks about Antichrist in verse 18. They went out from us in verse 19. You say, well, that scares me. I don't want to be an Antichrist. Me either. So read verse 20. But contrary to those atheists and those Antichrists that went out from us, he said, but ye, what's the difference? Well, I stayed in the church. I didn't leave. There's a bunch of us, bunch of them that left us and walked away from us, but I'm still here. That's not what it says. It's not based on church membership or church attendance. Preachers try to make you think that it is because they'll take that one verse and beat you over the head with it. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And they're standing out there in the parking lot looking at their watch and say, it's Sunday at so and so o'clock and you need to be here. That's not what that verse says. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Where is the church? Jesus himself said, where the eagles are gathered together around the carcass, that's where the church is. Where the eagles are gathered together, there is where the carcass is. So the eagles, those who mount up with wings as eagles and go up into the heavenly things, who have a desire for the spiritual things, they don't just stay at the convenient plains of Dura. They don't just stay at the convenient plains, but they follow Jesus up into the mountain. Put forth the effort. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever they goeth, whithersoever he goeth. So in chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 20, how are you different from those who are Antichrist? But ye have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One. Can you bring out that anointing and let me see it? No. Everyone that's born of the Spirit is like the wind blowing where it wills. Thou canst hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whither it cometh or whither it goeth. You can't prove the Holy Spirit by bringing the Holy Spirit out and letting somebody see it. In fact, that's the reason that the world won't receive him, Jesus said, because it seeth him not. If they can't see it, feel it, touch it, smell it, they don't want any part of it. They don't believe it. They can't believe it. But we are seeing him who is invisible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. And it helps us to overcome the things of the world. It's a spiritual matter, dear friend. We had to come up into the mountain. We had to leave the plains that was easy. The plains that were easy. The plains where carnal apostate religion is carried on. Set up a golden head. Solid gold. Wow. And look at those dimensions. That's a lot of gold. And he said, well, where are you going to put it? Well, that makes it easy for the people to get to. That's where our apostate religion is. Did you think that it was going to be easy to walk with the Lord when he walked straight into a cross? How did your master get home to heaven? By the way of the cross. Guess what? You're going to have to take up your cross daily. So he said, how do I know that I'm not an apostate? In 1 John 2, 18 and 19. Well, read verse 20. But, contrary to them, ye, those who are truly Christians, have an unction, have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and ye know all things. What does that mean? That means that God, as old Brother Caldwell used to say, has put the schoolhouse, the school teacher, and the school books on the inside of you. And dear soul, you need to understand, and I've told you 1,100 times, that truth never comes from without. Confirmation of truth comes from without. And if the Holy Spirit is not witnessing to your heart inwardly that which I am saying to your ear outwardly, then something's not right. Because God has given you an unction. 1 John 5:20, we know we have this Son, Jesus Christ, and with him is given us an understanding. You cannot be deceived. The Holy Spirit will wave a red flag and say, wait a minute, that ain't true. Or he will soothe your heart and say, blessed is that word, because it sanctifies the Lord in your heart. It makes you understand and know that he is God. Skip on down, 1 John 2:27. But the anointing, same word, unction, ye have received from him, of the Lord, abideth in you. When did I get that unction? That's how you knew you were born again. There was something different. Not your hair color, not your facial expressions, not your weight or your height or any other thing. Not you didn't have a sex change. Believe me, I don't care what the world is saying today. It's just so stupid what they're doing. But anyhow, you remain the same, but you're absolutely and totally entirely different. He says, the anointing which you have received of him abideth, E-T-H, abideth, continues to abide in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. How can you be doing your job? How can you be doing your housework? How can you be doing your driving, going from one place to another? How can you be doing a multitude of different things that are required of us every day, but at the same time you're receiving instruction and in receiving glorious revelation from the person of the Holy Ghost? It's because God has given you an unction that intends and fully, absolutely stays with you for the rest of eternity, not just for the rest of your life. He's not going to give you he's going to give you everlasting life. You shall never perish. It's going to continue on with you throughout all eternity. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6, loosely translated. God intends to keep you. God did not take you up except to instruct you and inform you by dwelling within you. And the reason that you gravitated to a certain ministry, to a certain preacher or teacher, is because they witnessed to that voice that's on the inside of you. Because they can only receive these messages as God is on the inside of them. And their soul, the Bible says that, what is it? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, I hope. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4. In verse 12. For the word of God is quick, means alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Well, I used to go to church and we'd squall and we'll have a good time and we'll weep and we'll hug each other's necks, but then we'll go out and do whatever we want to and forget all about God. It's going to divide that soulishness, that emotionalism, that is strictly emotionalism. Nothing wrong with being emotional if you're emotional because you love the Lord and because you have seen the Lord. But it divides asunder soulishness from true spirituality. How far does it go? It goes to the joints and marrow. That's the innermost part of your skeleton. Gets all the way down into the marrow of the bone. What else does it do? The Word of God, Christ is the Word of God ministering himself to you by the gifts of the church, the pastors and teachers and so forth, and by the Holy Spirit being within you, he is a discerner of the thought and intents of the heart. Sooner or later, the Holy Spirit is going to cross you at the point of your rebellion. Sooner or later, the Holy Spirit is going to make you understand and see what is right, what is of God, and what is not right, and what is not right with God. Dear soul, if you're in a pulpit and you've got an unruly person or persons in your congregation that are giving you trouble all day, but one thing you need to do, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, a reproach with all long-suffering and doctrine. You keep on hammering it out, dear soul. You keep on believing. God said, my word is a consuming, our God is a consuming fire. My voice is like a hammer and like a fire. Sooner or later, you look around, they won't be there anymore. They can't take it. But the true people of God want to hear it. They want more. They want you to continue to confirm the voice of God within them by the Holy Spirit. So the voice of God speaking through the preacher, giving him the unction and the understanding of not only what to preach, but how to bring it forth. I don't know how to bring forth a sermon. I don't know how to get up a sermon. All I know to do is when the Lord impresses me with a with a particular passage and a particular subject, get on over there and open your mouth wide and let God fill it. And most of the time, in fact, usually, I actually get the message and understand what the message was while you do. I may have had a title and a verse and think I know which way this thing's headed, but dear soul, you have to learn to follow the Holy Spirit in this pulpit and not come up with that which you think it ought to be. You can't go by this. You can't even go by this. You have to go by this. You follow the Lord. And if God, and He has many times, and it used to scare me, and I used to go home thinking, boy, I really messed it up. When I deviated from my notes. But I had those notes given me in my study, and I knew it was from the Lord. But dear soul, it depends on who it is that shows up for the congregation that day. If somebody in your family comes over and they can't stand onions in the potato salad, you make them a little dish and a little bowl and you leave the onions out. And you say, well, this is for so-and-so because I know he or she doesn't like onions. And you feed them what they have a desire for. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Whatever the appetite is, if it is in Christ, God will fill it. There's certain things that I don't like. I have just begun in this later stage in my life to every once in a while enjoy a dill pickle. And I know there's some of you laughing. I used to make a statement, you can't eat dill pickles and go to heaven. Just laughing, just kidding. But dear soul, now I've got to where if I have a hamburger and there's one on it, I just eat it. And I've learned to like it. So your tastes change. But dear soul, the one that understands and knows who himself is the bread of heaven, the bread of life. He alone is that bread is broken for you. Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. He's the only one that can make it palatable to your particular taste. The Lord will do it. There's no way that a preacher can get up in front of a congregation and make everybody pleased with a canned message. But what he does is get up and do what God told him to do and follow the Holy Ghost, and the Lord is making application. This person heard that same sentence that that person heard, but they got a different understanding of it than this person did. God is taking care of them. It has to be this way. Do you understand and realize the difference between Christ's ministry on earth and the Holy Spirit's ministry after Christ went back to heaven? Jesus said, I have many things to say unto you. Wait a minute now. Think about it. I have many things to say. Well, why are you going away? Because you cannot bear them now. Well, Lord, when will I be able to bear them? When I send the Holy Spirit that can minister to the diversity of the church. Within their inner hearts, by the unction of the Spirit, then you can hear these things. So we understand there's such a difference between the apostles and the disciples. And they were sent in so many different directions, and their messages are so different. But there's only one Christ, there's only one truth, there's only one way, there's only one bread. But Jesus Christ left his church and said, it is needful to you that I go away. Why? You have to remove the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ in order for the Spirit to come. If I go not away, the Spirit won't come. But if I go away, I will send him unto you. And he will come and he will make all things known unto you. Come up hither. Rise up, O men of God. Come up hither into the Spirit, and I will show you things to come. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12, verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's the word of God. It bears you wide open and teaches you personally. The husband may not hear the exact same thing as the wife, and the wife may not hear in the same flavor of the husband. Why? Because he's going to heaven in a male body, and she's going to heaven in a female body. But when he gets to heaven, he will be part of the bride of Christ. You figured that one out yet? And she will go to heaven with a man's head to be fitted upon the body of the church. So they're going to have to be able to complement one another, the Holy Spirit teaching each one of them individually, and them being able to share those things, him being able to listen to the female, listen to the wife, and hear her say, this is what I saw in it, when he just says, he didn't have a clue of anything like that. But he listens to her, and it begins to make him understand and see how that he's part of the bride of Christ. And she begins to understand and hear him. And she begins to understand what it is to go to heaven and be fitted with a man's head. Christ is the head of the church upon the body of the church. So we see that the Lord is in this thing. The Holy Spirit is in this thing. You're going to have to come up on the mountain. You're going to have to understand it can't be just convenient and easy and slid into without any problem. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's only tribulation that worketh patience. And in your patience possess ye your souls. You've been waiting on the Lord how long? Ever since you got saved. The Lord, when causes you to be born again, when he gives you the new birth, he doesn't whisk you immediately into the presence of glory. You might have been a young person not married. Now you're a married person. Now you're a mother or a father. Then you became a granddaddy or a grandfather. You're still going through all those processes, yet it's the same Lord. It's the same unction. But God is developing you and bringing you on to understand the things of God. Come up hither and I'll show you things to come. I will manifest myself to you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lady called me on the phone last night and said, we were expecting my second great-grandchild. Well, I knew her when she, back yonder, you know, when she's just a married woman. And she's come through all these stages, but she's still seeking the Lord while he may be found. And dear soul, that's the only way that it works. Come up hither. We went up into a mountain. You want to stay down there with the easy believers? And staying on the plain where idolatry is brought forth so it's easy for you to go and worship the gods of this world, the golden head. You're going to miss eternity in his glory. But if you are willing to go through many toils and dangers, I have already come. It's grace that led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. And you're wearing yourself out, and you can't believe that all these trials just keep on coming one upon another. If it's not one thing, somebody said it's another. And it is. But what is that doing? Giving you opportunity for God to speak to you in an entirely different circumstance. Giving God opportunity to make you understand and see that he was there before you. He was there behind you. He is there with you. He is there in you. And understand and come to a spiritual understanding and an awakening that the Father seeketh such to worship him. How in the world are you going to worship God the Father? No man has seen God at any time. How are you going to worship him? Well, what is his name? Exodus 3:14. What is his name? I am that I am. Now, there's not a was or shall be in there. There's not a past or a future. It's just I am being what I am being. How are you going to deal with that? Because you bring out that picture album when they come over to see you at Thanksgiving and you bore them all to death with the pictures of back when they were little and, oh, look what your hairdo looked like, you know, the clothes we wore, and you laugh at all that. But that was. But you need is. That bespeaks of his eternality. That bespeaks of your eternality. How are you going to be able to know and worship God throughout all eternity? Think about the dear saints of God that have gone on before you, that's already passed over. Dear soul, how are they knowing God? He that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Come up on the mountain. Have done with lesser things. Rise up, O man of God. Come into the presence of eternal glory. Dear soul, we've talked a lot about glory, but let me put the capstone on that thing and make you understand and see something that the Lord has just more recently revealed to me, and that is it takes glory to sustain eternality. What did he say? He said it takes glory to sustain eternality. Let me ask you this. Where was God prior to let there be light? When nothing existed. There wasn't an angel. There wasn't darkness. There wasn't light. There wasn't a thing called nothing. Because nothing is something. Nothing is the absence of something. But there wasn't an absence of anything. There was just God. You say, I can't think like that. Gives me a headache too, but that's the truth. Now, where was God prior to let there be? He was in his glory. Therefore, you have to understand, dear soul, that his eternality is contained with, sustained by, presented in his glory. My glory will I not share with another. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also sanctified. And whom he sanctified, them he also glorified. You say, I'm going to dwell with God eternally. Not unless you get into glorification. Because glorification alone sustains eternality. You can't have anything remaining eternal except it enters into the divine realm of glory. Now, you say, brother, that's higher than I can think. Well, that's my message today. Go up into the mountain. Come up hither. How are you going to be able to be sustained eternally if you don't learn to come up into the mountain now and leave the carnality of traditional religion and walk in and think from and act out the character and personality of the Holy Spirit of God? Jesus Christ had to leave this earth. He did what he was supposed to do. He shed his blood and provided redemption for the entire church of God. But he was dead and gone 2,000 years before I ever got here. How in the world am I going to benefit from that? The Holy Spirit shall come, and he shall take of mine, Jesus said, and show it unto you. And this all about when I was about 17 years old, the Holy Spirit, although I had been in church, I had been baptized, I had joined everything I could join of the traditional religious practices, but I still didn't know God. But long about when I was 17 years old, the Holy Spirit came to me for the first time that I knew of. I'm sure the Holy Spirit had been watching over us and taking care of us in ways that we did not know prior to that. But the Holy Spirit came and whispered life into my dead soul. And my eyes were open and I began to understand and I began to perceive and I began to want to seek higher things. I began to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I wanted to know more about God. it wasn't enough that I could go to these various organizations and perform these things of traditional religion. I wanted to know something about God. And dear soul, if you had anything that I could benefit from as far as knowing the person and the spirit and the glory of God, I was on you, you know, like a duck on a June bug. I wanted to know what you knew. I had a hunger for God, and I still do. I didn't realize that hunger and ransacking the scriptures, and I've used up so many Bibles, wore them out. I didn't realize that all of that was the making of a preacher. I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't ask God to be a preacher. I don't have any ambition even now to be a preacher. I just wanted to know God. But God said, you're not going to get all that stuff and not use it for the glory of God and the benefit of the church. I said, well, just don't stop me from learning. If that's what I got to do, then okay. And this all, here I am. And I still can't teach you anything from without. But God can help me be usable by the Holy Spirit to confirm that which the Holy Spirit is saying to you, even at this very moment. You have an unction with the Holy One, and you know that these things are true. You need not that this man teach you. The Holy Spirit is teaching you. He's going before you and making these things plain to you. He's coming after you. You be driving home or driving somewhere or doing something somewhere, and all of a sudden the awareness of that thing that man said will come upon you, and you'll go back to him and say, I see it now, not because you said it, but I see what you were talking about. And I see it now even in a greater way. And you can even turn around and teach him some things that God showed you. And you better. I'm giving you everything I got. David came home from the army and he had nothing but a gunny sack full of cheese crumbs and bread crumbs. His father Jesse sent him to the army with breads and cheeses to feed those boys that were out there fighting the enemy. Dear soul, I'm come over here to you that are fighting the enemy. Your adversary, the devil, seeketh whom he may walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. I'm bringing you everything I have. If you get something from God and you don't think I have it, you better give it to me. You better not let me find out that you got it and didn't give it to me. I want it. It's mine. Because everything I get is yours. Because the Holy Spirit is doing it. It's not preachers. It's not teachers. It's not fellow believers. It's Christ in you. Glory to God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you have a hope of being glorified? Well, I can't be eternal. That preacher just said that it takes glory to sustain eternality. So if I'm going to be eternally saved, yes, I have to be glorified. Well, what's your hope of glory? Christ in you. Where are you going to get that? Go up into the mountain. Well, there he goes. Well, I don't want to be left down here. I was a coach of a church ball team. That didn't do me no good. I ran a segment of the Boy Scouts from the church. We did this, that, and the other. I was on this committee and that committee and all. Wait a minute. That's just the well-watered plains of Jordan. That's what Lot saw. He said when he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan, he said, this is where I'm going to stay. Got him in a lot of trouble. You remember that? That was where Sodom and Gomorrah and the other three cities of the plains were, and that's where those meteorites come zooming in out of heaven and set those oil fields on fire and killed every last one of them because they wanted to stay in the well-watered plains. Oh, this is so beautiful. In Genesis, I think it is, chapter 11. Listen to this. Genesis chapter 11. Verses 1 and 2. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. You didn't hear anybody say, parlez-vous français? Or you didn't hear anybody say, hablos español? Everybody talked the same language. There wasn't any other language in the entire world. And I asked a preacher one time, I thought it was a learned man, and he was, what was that language? And he said he imagined it was Hebrew. I'll leave it with you. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Now listen. And it came to pass, because everybody didn't have to go to school to learn language. It was easy. Just talk to anybody you want to, anytime you wanted to, about anything you wanted to. Nothing was withheld. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Dear soul, when everything is equal and when everything is level and when everything's good, people are going to stop right there and say, this good as it gets. That's where the whole human race stopped. And God said, nah, we ain't going to have this. And he brought the miracle of tongues or languages. And they were trying to build a tower in a city and said, there ain't nothing going to hinder us. We're just going to be like God. We're going to get all the way up to God. No wonder if that's where Jack and the Beanstalk story got started. Anyhow, built a city and a tower, religion and social gathering, a church and a city and a tower to be like God. And God said, we got to stop them. So he gave them languages. And it scattered them abroad on the face of the earth. But where did they come to originally? Just like Lot, to the well-watered plains of the Jordan, Lot did. But they came to the beautiful plain of the land of Shinar. Everybody could speak the same language. And they stopped right there because there wasn't anything to hinder them. What does the word plain mean? It is a level ground which was easy for the feet. A plain is a word meaning a spot limited by occupancy. It means a tear or a division. A mountain here, what's in the middle? A plain. Dear soul, religion is in a plain. There may be different religions, but everything's the same basically in all of them. Jesus said, you worship, you know not what. And that's what religion does. Some people may have to touch their head and stomach and shoulders and say all kind of monkey jumbo stuff, and you don't have to do that. Some people have to bow and kneel and, you know, and do all this stuff and flip water on you. It's all the same stuff. It's all the same spirit. Do you want to go to hell with the rest of them? Listen, it's amazing here in Luke, what is it, chapter 6? I think it is. Maybe where I want it. Yeah, in verse number 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples. Isn't it about time you lifted up your eyes and quit letting Brother Gene and Sister so-and-so and cousin whatever this or cousin that do your thinking and do your praying for you? Isn't it time you started contacting God yourself? God's lifting up his eyes and looking at you through this message. In John 17, chapter 1, Jesus said, Father, the hour, and Jesus said, I know what Jesus said. Let me tell you what happened. John 17 and verse number 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. Now that don't just mean he lifted up his eyes like in we read you in Luke chapter 6. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples. It means he came into his attention. He began to look upon them. This message today is God beginning to look at you. Have done with lesser things. Rise up, O men of God. Come up hither. Go up into the mountain. Quit depending upon your devotion books. They didn't save you. There's not a drop of blood available for you in those devotion books. Quit depending on nothing but the scriptures. There's a difference between the scriptures and the person of the Word of God, who is with God and was God, and that's Jesus Christ. You need to go to Jesus. Let him lift up his eyes on you so that you will lift up your eyes on him. But let me tell you this. If you choose not to lift up your eyes on Jesus and go up into the mountain with him, you will one of these days lift up your eyes. The Bible said when the rich man died and he falls into hell, Luke 16, it says, and it came to pass in verse 22 that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's. He had to be taken up. Gravity was pulling him down. He had to be taken up by the powers of the Holy Spirit. And so will you. But listen, the rich man also died, plop, and was buried. It didn't take any effort to get him where he was going. He just falls into the grave and falls into hell. But listen what the next verse said in Luke chapter 16 in verse 23. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. You will lift up your eyes. You will come to see that religion never did fulfill anything of the Spirit for you. The Holy Spirit is fulfilled in your faith. The just shall live by faith. And when Jesus is lifting up his eyes on you, as he's doing through this message by the Holy Spirit, it's time for you personally to lift up your eyes, bring your heart up, bring your awareness up, saying, I'm tired of being a lazy religionist, and I want to walk with God, and I want to follow him, and I want him to know that I love him as much as he loves me, and I want him to know that I see his eyes looking upon me, and that's what made Peter repent. Boy, Lord, I'll follow you even unto death. Jesus said, you won't make three crows of the rooster before you deny me. And when Peter lifted up his eyes and saw Jesus praying for him, he went out and wept bitterly. This old, it's time for some church members to stop fooling around with religion and fooling around with a dead Jesus. Amen. And come to understand, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I hear his voice of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And every time I need him, he's always near. There's a personal relationship and awareness and a consciousness of the person of Almighty God. And Jesus said, the rich man fell into hell and was buried. And it said, and he lifted up his eyes, but he was in hell and it was too late. What about this other fellow in Luke 18? There was a publican that showed up for church. And the Pharisee got up ahead of him and prayed first and said, I'm glad I ain't like him. And the poor old publican, what does it say in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 13? And the publican, standing afar off, he's not in the plain, he's standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Lord, I can't look up my eyes. I know what I am. What did he do? He smote where the problem was, in his breast, the sin. And he said, Lord, have mercy on me, as he bowed his head and looked down to the ground. It's going to take the Lord Jesus to raise up his chin and bring his eyesight into the fullness of his face. For the light that shined out of darkness has shined into the face of Jesus Christ to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And dear soul, when he sees the beaming rays of forgiveness and love upon that his face. He goes down to his house, and Jesus said, not the preacher, not the baptism folks that prepare the water and bring him the baptism gown and all that, but Jesus himself. You don't have to be anything but what you are. You don't have to go anywhere than where you are. But in your heart of hearts, you must say, I will follow the Lord Jesus whithersoever he goeth. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And you say, Lord, I want to be with you. God will lift up your eyes and let you look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Friend, Jesus said to you, you understood, you come unto me, and I will give you rest. I can't give it to you. I don't care who the church is, they can't give it to you. But Jesus said he would, and he's never lied. If he says he would, he will. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of the devil batting you back and forth like a rubber ball, making you feel like if you died right now, you'd burn in hell? Aren't you tired of not having the security and having, dear soul, the unction that you need to have the peace of God that passes all these understandings? I understand that I'm a sinner. I understand that I did things wrong in my life. But this peace passes all that. Jesus said, I'll wash you and make you whole. And I'll put your sins in forgetfulness, in the sea of forgetfulness, and there I'll never remember them anymore. Blessed are the man whose transgressions are forgiven. Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like to be able to lay your head down on your bed tonight and say, it is well, for Jesus has helped me lift up my eyes into the presence of his glory, and he has lifted up his eyes upon me. And now I have left the carnality of level, easy going religion, and I've come now to stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his death I shall die, and in his life I shall live. And I will be received and accepted by Almighty God upon the basis of that Lamb of God. Ain't God good? Oh, my dear soul, that's all we have time for. We really didn't have time for all of that. We went over time, but I just had an urgency to call you to Christ. Not to me, not to the church, but come to Christ. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest, and ye shall find rest to your souls. May God bless you.